On February 9th, Greg Butler won the Best Visual Effects Oscar for his work on the World War I epic 1917, directed by Sam Mendes. Butler graduated from Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, and has been working in film since the early 1990s. He was nominated for an Oscar in 2012 for his work on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Butler spoke with WAMC about working on The Lord of the Rings in the early 2000s, and what it was like when he learned he'd won for 1917.
The immediate feeling was surreal, just being in that environment, in a place that people like me, sort of behind the camera and not living in Hollywood, I'll never feel completely at home in a place like that. A-list stars on a stage, even in a local theater production on stage, I'd be a little bit nervous, and this is way beyond that. Luckily, I never thought about people watching at home. I just thought about the audience itself, which was enough. Really, when they announced the winner of the category, all they said was 19, and the rest of it I just blanked out and just went into autopilot trying to get myself onto the stage and not make a fool out of myself.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
So what was it like working on 1917, which follows a pair of British soldiers through the front lines of World War I in France?
The first thing to say is it was hard. It was hard for everybody on the whole movie, you know, from Sam on down. What he attempted to do hasn't really been done before. There's been a couple examples of people doing a film, feature-length film, in a single take. You know, a couple experimental films actually using a single take with lots of rehearsals. But when it comes to feature films, things like Hitchcock's Rope or Birdman using, you know, various tricks and illusions like we did, but not at 4K IMAX with no allowance for tricks or sleight of hand. The concept of the film I thought was interesting and it was going to be hard at first, but when I actually had to do it, I think like a lot of other people in the film, it was even harder than we imagined it would be.
So let's get into the actual work that you did. I'm not sure everyone knows exactly the kind of work that you do. So what exactly was your contribution to the film?
I'll start with the more obvious things that people would not be surprised in. Anytime there was a World War I plane, it was digital, with the exception of the one on fire that an actress pulled out of, which was real. Anytime there was a rat or rats, that was digital. We put in backgrounds when Schofield crosses a canal. That was filmed in Glasgow, Scotland, and we had to remove the city in the background and replace it with French countryside. Like, kind of, for these days, standard visual effects work. The thing that was not standard was the stitches, what we refer to as the connections between all of the multiple camera takes. They shot for over 60 days, and so that meant there's a minimum of 60 different moments where we had to seamlessly blend one piece of film to another, that were usually shot on different days and sometimes in different locations hundreds of miles apart.
I imagine in your line of work, you find yourself using cutting-edge technology for this kind of work. Talk to me about that. What actually goes into creating these images?
On this film, we didn't do anything like in my industry. None of it was cutting-edge. Like, it's all stuff that you could have really done 10 years ago. We have faster computers than we did 10 years ago, but as far as techniques, these were more classic digital compositing techniques. So you take the incoming plate that they shot on a Monday, and then the Tuesday version where they did their best to recreate the starting point and just try to line them up using respeeds, offsets of pixels, blending. Sometimes, you know, what people think of as a morph, where you mush pixels together in an invisible way. It was really so many of those techniques that, yeah, are at least 10 years old now. We had to resurrect those techniques and find people who still knew how to master that stuff, because I guess it's funny to say it, but we were doing old school digital visual effects in a world where everybody's now doing digital humans, completely photorealistic fire and water. We had little bits of all of that, but really the hard part for us was the old school traditional blending of photography together.
Going back to the turn of the millennium, when you were working on the Lord of the Rings trilogy, what was that experience like compared to this, another epic war series that I imagine was quite complex as well? Over the last couple decades, what's changed?
Technology has streamlined. There's less companies doing their own versions of things. there's been a consolidation, and there's more software that is in common use across facilities. So you bring somebody in and they already know how to do a particular effect using particular software. When we were at Weta, more of that was done in-house and more of that had to be trained and figured out. A big change, if you look at the three Lord of the Rings films, my memory is that on the first film, we did 400 shots. A shot is really how we account for our work. It's about usually 5 seconds of film is a shot, any time between two cuts. So Lord of the Rings, the first one, Fellowship of the Ring, we probably did 400 shots, which for a new visual effects company, that was extremely hard. And then for Two Towers, less than 2 years later, we jumped it up to 800 shots. And then by the time we did Return of the King, we probably hit 1,000 or something. These days, companies are doing 1 to 2,000 visual effects shots for a movie without even thinking of it as groundbreaking, because movies now have so much in them that either couldn't be filmed, shouldn't be filmed, or was too expensive to film. For example, on our film, you'd never know it, but 91% of the film went through my team for visual effects. Whether it was a small thing like removing a tree the director didn't want there, or adding a digital character to help a blend when he jumps off a waterfall. So Lord of the Rings is within the continuity, creating things that couldn't have been created previously, but that was, I guess it was 20 years now. So some things are still hard and some things are much easier now, or certainly go faster than they used to.
A cursory glance over your resume is pretty staggering. You've worked on everything from King Kong and Godzilla, Night at the Museum, American Sniper. It's quite a resume. Looking back over your career in film, what really stands out to you as a project that was particularly challenging or rewarding?
The ones that jump out to me as a combination of those things, there was the Two Towers on Lord of the Rings, because that was one where I had a more influential role than the other two. I was in charge of the team creating Gollum, and that was the first film he really was an actor in. So that was my big challenge on that one. And then working on a Harry Potter movie, I never thought I'd get to do Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, but the franchise kept going for so long, I got two chances. And the fifth Harry Potter film, Order of the Phoenix, was in a way the most enjoyable and also challenging, because it was really my first experience as a visual effects supervisor taking on a big project. So knowing whether I could do it, I didn't know till the end that I could do it. And then I guess this is the third one, 1917, is the hardest I've ever worked on a project. Although it was only about 4 months long, I've never worked harder for 4 months for anything, and not really have been more proud of my contribution to a film than this one.
The Internet Movie Database lists your first credit, well, your first perhaps uncredit, as being the camera engineering intern on Jurassic Park back in 1993. Tell me about that. What was that experience like?
I was that, so I guess I'm okay putting it down. It was uncredited. It was a very small, like 2 months in the summer of 92, where I was just helping the camera engineering department, which is also video engineering, just go around and maintaining equipment, everything from putting silicone spray on the motion control rigs to calibrating monitors that people were using to render out dinosaurs. When I was there in 92, I didn't really know Jurassic Park was going to be such a big deal. I knew it was the most interesting thing going on. Everybody at the company was excited about it. And by the time I came back in 93, it had happened and exploded. So I didn't really contribute anything to the screen on Jurassic Park. I was just there when everything was starting to get going, like I said, as a lowly intern.
Another movie in the 90s you worked on was the cult classic Starship Troopers by Paul Verhoeven as lead digital lighting. I'm interested, what was it like working with Paul Verhoeven? That movie has a very distinct color palette to it. What was your contribution like?
I really worked directly for Phil Tippett. Paul Verhoeven came a few times up to Berkeley where we were located, but really he trusted Phil to pretty much direct the action in the action sequences with the bugs attacking. Obviously, he was still the director, but Phil was given a lot of room to change the edit and to come up with the action that they storyboarded together. And working under Phil was really my first experience of real filmmaking. Before Tippett Studio hired me, I hadn't worked directly on a movie before. I had just done technical work supporting, you know, in the background. This time I learned how to do digital lighting, digital look development, and get to work mostly on the warrior bugs. That was the thing I dealt with, sequences where there's the night attack, the big valley where they're destroyed by bombs. That studio there wasn't many of us, and the studio had never taken on a big digital project like that before. It had been a stop motion studio. So having the stop motion animator who ran the company and other stop motion animators who were learning to do digital was a way of entering into visual effects through the animation area, which was a great way to come into it because computers didn't matter. They were just a tool to get the animation done when it would have been done stop motion before. So I'm really glad I came in through that route instead of through a more computer graphics science route.
You're a graduate of the Experimental College, Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, which eschews grades for an interdisciplinary approach to education. How did that experience play into your career in the world of visual effects?
I think looking back, it was completely suited to me getting into something that I didn't even know I wanted to or could ever get into when I started school. Because Hampshire has not too many boundaries, it's sort of they try to get you set up for exploring, learning, and taking things on yourself. There's guidance and there's a certain sort of set of boundaries that you can eventually fail out of the school, but it's up to you to find your success through it. And so coming out of a school with that kind of emphasis on building confidence, supporting curiosity, making you work with other people to get anything done, it was a great way to enter into an industry that had no way of getting into it traditionally. You couldn't go to a school for visual effects. All the companies that existed, there's only a handful, they weren't in the phone book. You had to find them by asking enough of the right people. So if I had gone to a more traditional school, I probably just would have dead-ended in that effort and ended up maybe in the film business somewhere doing something else. I certainly wouldn't have kind of sneaked my way into this closed industry 30 years ago.
So following your Oscar win, what's next for you? Are there any projects you're looking at or any directors or creators you're looking forward to working with?
I'm not looking specifically at a project right now. There's a handful of companies in Montreal that I'm talking to, and there's interesting films that'll get going in the next year. I haven't narrowed any down because it's a tricky thing to figure out. Where do I want to work? Who would I want to work with, both as filmmakers and as a company to work for? Because I still want to stay based in Montreal. I still want to work for filmmakers that I'll learn something from that I'll find interesting, but I also want to stay within a visual effects company environment with a bunch of people I like working with. That's the best thing about our industry is that you'll never be bored and you'll always work with some interesting people. Sometimes overly interesting and, you know, it can be crazy days, but you'll always end up meeting people you want to work with again. And the industry is still small enough, you will end up working with them somewhere else, if not at the same place.